Hey everybody, welcome to episode 48 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. In today's episode, Katie and I interview Maggie Batsford. Maggie is a CrossFit coach in Indianapolis, and we talk to her about body image and her story on finding fitness in her early 20s. We know you guys are going to love this interview. It was so fun, and we can't wait to hear what you guys think. All right, on to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hey, Maggie. Great to have you on the podcast.
Hey, girls. Thanks for having me.
All right. So you are a CrossFit coach at the same gym that I coach at. Tell us how you got into fitness.
Specifically CrossFit, I started when I was a sophomore at IU, and I was sitting actually on my front porch of my sorority house with one of my really good girlfriends at the time, and well, still to this day, and one of the girls in the younger pledge classes got out of her car and walked up the front porch and was like totally dripping in sweat. And she was, I mean, always kind of like the fitness model basically of the house. And so my friend Remy and I were like, where are you coming from, Emily? Like, what are you doing? And she had started like a best beginners program at one of the CrossFit gyms in town. And we obviously thought she was beautiful and amazing. And we were like, oh my God, like, we should definitely do that. And I had grown up playing soccer and had always kind of been athletic, and then got to college and was kind of stuck on the treadmill and didn't really know how to like make my way around the weight rooms and was very scared of them and kind of stuck to what I knew and was not satisfied, as many women are going through college. And so Remy and I started at one of the local gyms in Bloomington, and I was hooked like almost immediately and thought it was the like the bee's knees. It was so cool. And I don't think I've missed a week since I started, and it's been almost 5 years. 5 years in Thanksgiving will be 5 years. Yeah. So it's been a long time.
Wow. That is incredible.
Yet to not miss a week that can you tell she's a little passionate about it? So you said you did soccer growing up. So tell us kind of how your childhood or your youth kind of shaped your view on fitness and how you ate and wellness in general.
Yeah. So I played soccer all growing up, actually up until high school. My sister and I played like pretty much every sport, team sports and individual, but soccer was always the one that stuck for both of us. And I played travel and also house league, and I liked it. I didn't love it. It's interesting because you look back and you think about all the things that your parents had you do growing up, right? And you did it because they wanted you to, and it was great if you liked it. And if you didn't like it, then like, okay, maybe next season you won't play, but you're still going to play. And this is a little bit off topic or a little bit of a tangent, but thinking about CrossFit itself and like, I guess for anybody, yoga or Pilates or working out and going to a fitness class. For me, this kind of dedication and going to a CrossFit class on my own without anybody telling me to is the first like conscious choice that I've made to continuously do something without somebody telling me that I'm supposed to. Like, you're supposed to go to school. You're supposed to go to work. My parents told me to go to soccer practice and they drove me there. But like CrossFit has been my very first thing where I've like taken ownership over the fact that like I am going there because I am the only person who's telling me to go there. So that I've actually thought about recently. But yeah, so soccer, I liked it. I didn't love it, but I was good at it and I played it for a while. I was built in – there's I think like two soccer bodies. There's long and lean and lanky, and there's short and stocky, and I was the short and stocky. So the body image piece of that was really hard for me for a very long time. I didn't really understand why I had to be built that way. Why couldn't I look like the forwards or the girls who you know, ran for miles and miles during soccer practice? And for me, sitting in the back, I was a defender, so it was a lot more like short sprints. And I mean, I contribute that to why my legs were so much quote-unquote bigger than the other girls. May not be true, but that's what I convinced myself basically when I was younger that was why. But I was really active, and my dad cooked pretty much all of our meals growing up. He's an awesome chef. I knew I would always do that for my family, and I wanted to because that's what he did for us. But there was never really like a like conscious effort to quote-unquote eat healthy. It wasn't bad, but there was no effort to be like, oh, like low fat. Mm-hmm. Which, yeah. You know, so we ate what we wanted and it was delicious. And I learned all of my tips and tricks from him. And I never really learned, I guess, how food is fuel until I got to college and then passed and into postgrad. Yeah. Did I answer? What other parts of that question were there? Was that it?
No, that was great. So before I ask you this, like, officially, did you, because I don't, you don't have to answer this if you don't really have an answer.
Yeah.
Did you have any sort of, like, body image issues in high school college? Okay. We're women, so.
Right.
I assumed that.
Yeah.
There was probably something.
Yes.
Or there probably always is, but it's like, do you know what it is yet?
Yes. Yeah. And that's something, I've done a lot of kind of, like, self-exploration almost in terms of.
Yeah,
like,
for
why,
sure.
Why do I feel the way I feel now?
Why do I feel the way I feel? Why did I feel the way that I felt?
Yeah.
So definitely.
I honestly think that's, like, one of the benefits of exercise is that you get more of
confident.
Yeah, and you like, you're like, what? If I'm exercising and I'm eating healthy, like, why do I still feel bad about myself? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't make mm-hmm. sense. Okay.
You should put that on.
I know. Okay. We'll have conversations and I'm like, we should be recording this.
Yeah.
Well, we are recording it. But everything we say is just pure gold.
Everything.
We need it. All right, so it sounds like you had, like, a healthy, and not necessarily just food-wise, but you had, like, a pretty, like, balanced, healthy upbringing. Mm-hmm. Did you have any sort of body image issues did you encounter in high school and then leading into college?
Like, anything your coaches would say, or you always hear moms making comments, or even, like, your sister. Like, I can think of times where my sister would make comments, you know, your hips are too big for that, or you just little things that you don't really think of until you get older.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't think it was ever anything specific that somebody said to me. You always pick up on the people around you, like your mom, and I grew up with an older sister too in the house, and you pick up even if they're trying to hide it, like as a mom, you try and set a good example, but you know, if you're self-conscious, it's going to shine through. Right. So pick up on those kinds of cues. But for me, honestly, there was like a moment. And I don't know if there was a conversation that was had or what, but I remember being in fifth grade, standing at my locker and looking around at the girls who I was friends with or wanted to be friends with, who played on my soccer team, and being like, I wear a size jean that's so much bigger than the other girls on my soccer team. Like, that sucks. Why? And, like, my hair didn't flip the way that theirs did. Like, they wore it in this, like, loose floppy bun up on the top of their head, which now sounds so dumb. But I was like, why doesn't my hair do that? That's dumb. Like, and then all of a sudden, it was just boom, boom, boom. Like, I have pictures of myself in third grade, like, wearing tiny little crop tops. And, like, I was not, like, a teeny little tiny kid. Like, I had some good meat on my bones. And when you're an adult, you're like, oh, that kid's so cute. Like, I love that she's wearing a crop top. And then you look back at yourself, whatever, in eighth grade, and you're like, oh my god, I look disgusting. So I didn't know it then, but then you get to a certain age and you're like, where did this go wrong, right? So it was fifth grade was when I like realized body image. And then going through junior high, it was probably fed through soccer. Like I thought about it, but I didn't really think about it. Like I knew I looked a little bit different, but everyone looked different. And then getting into high school, I stopped playing sports and I started focusing like 100% on being a theater kid. I was a singer and an actress, and I did that all through when I was playing soccer, and then I had to choose in high school. So I chose that route. And so I stopped working out, and because soccer had been my workout, I didn't know how to do anything else besides play soccer. We never lifted weights. We didn't do anything. So I thought running might be a good thing, but like I never really got committed to it, and so I was just a theater kid. And so, and then you go through puberty as a high schooler, and then everything changes. And so by my senior year, I was just not, like, I thought I was pretty, but like I wasn't, I didn't really like myself. And then I got to college and joined a sorority, which was wonderful, but also not, for so many body image reasons. And I was in a sorority house that had some beautiful women in it. I mean, beautiful women. And so that the first 2 years were, I mean, really all 4 years were somewhat of a struggle. But once I found CrossFit and had the confidence to kind of own that and own that body image and the strong piece of it and almost use it like as my excuse to look that way, it started to become a reality.
No, I totally get what you mean by, like, once you became a CrossFitter, or just in general, once you start lifting weights, like, you then give yourself permission to have the body that you have.
Yes.
because I totally relate with like being stockier, especially because I'm short and, you know, I've always had like some good legs, and people always would ask me if I was a gymnast, and I wasn't. But I was like, I should have been a damn gymnast because then I would, like, it would have given me an excuse early on. Exactly. But yeah, it's like you need that like permission or that like excuse of like, this fits with my body shape, and so I now can own it.
Right, absolutely.
Like, my dad was always my soccer coaches and all of this, and so he watched me grow up playing sports, and our joke would be like, oh, Maggie loves knocking down the big girls, which I did. And then when I got older and started doing CrossFit, like, he would tell me that I had like piston thighs. And if he had told me that before, I would have been like, no, like, that's no, Dad, you can't say that to somebody. Like, that's an insult. And now I'm like, F yeah, I've piston thighs. Like, I'm strong. So it's interesting to think a compliment now would have been an insult in the past. So that, and that's just, I mean, piece of like growing up and owning that.
Yeah. That's how I feel about the word skinny. And I think this is like, it's pretty common nowadays. Like, people, when they hear skinny, especially if you're in the fitness industry, it's like you hear the word skinny and you're like, gross. And it's so funny because I'm like, wait, that wasn't how I always felt about that word. But I mean, thin, okay, that doesn't have as the negative connotation that skinny does. So I totally get what you mean. It's like a compliment, and one part of my life is now literally an insult.
Right.
Now that I'm older and I just have really embodied more of the like healthy body image and stuff.
That's so true. Just this weekend, my aunt, who I hadn't seen in a long time, made a comment like, are you losing weight? And actually, I'm gaining weight, you know, but I don't care, you know, whatever. And it's just, yeah, it's interesting how you process it now. I guess I've never really didn't even think about it until you bringing up everything through your childhood. It kind of brings back all these different memories that you're like, oh my gosh, you don't even realize how it shapes the way that you think and how you feel and how you look at yourself, even though parents and, you know, sorority sisters and all the people around you, they mean the best, and but people don't know the things that they say, how it affects you in that place where you're at in your life.
Right.
To go off on another tangent, there have been recently, so I've been, whatever, tracking my macros, and my intensity has been higher at the gym, and there have been a couple people who have come up to me. I actually wrote a blog post about this a little while ago too, or maybe a couple years ago. A year ago. I don't know. Time blurs. In the last 10 years, I've written a blog post about this. But I had a couple people come up to me at the gym and say, you look so thin. Like, you look great. You look so skinny. Like, you look like you've lost weight. And I'm like, thank you so much. Like, out of the goodness of your heart, that is a compliment that you're giving me. But I am so adamant about, like, no one body type is better than another. Like, to be skinny slash thin, whatever you want to call it, to be built with muscles, to be curvy, whatever you want to define it as, like, no one way of looking should be put up on a pedestal above all the others. And so by complimenting, yes, it's a compliment. Yes, it's great. I have been working on it. Like, I'm so glad that you noticed that. But instead of, like, putting that thinness on the pedestal, there should be other ways, and this is just going to take a lot of time, but there should be other ways to give somebody a compliment without saying, you look really thin.
Kind of going off of that, so it's been 5 years since you found CrossFit. How has CrossFit specifically, and just the community or mentors or whoever has been around you, how has that shaped your idea of body image and beauty and how you view your own body?
This is the best question, and this is like my favorite thing to talk about. CrossFit, I always say it like saved me in so many ways. And I mean, I was doing just fine before, but I am a completely different person than I was when I first found it. I mean, I even have a tattoo that says beauty and strength because it has really defined me in the past 5 years. And beauty and strength has so many different facets. Like, yes, there's beauty in being physically strong and being able to lift weights and to move a couch on your own if you need to, and those kinds of things, carry all of your groceries in and one trip, which is like my favorite thing. Yes. And there's so much beauty in that. And then there's beauty in the emotional side of it and the mental and the spiritual and being a better friend and being better to yourself. And there's so many people who aren't able to make those connections because they're so focused on the physical. And yes, the physical transformation for me was the first transformation that I went through when I found CrossFit. But the other ones have been so much more potent and so much more important. So my body image has changed drastically. I'm in much better shape than I was. So like from a societal standpoint, like, yeah, I probably look better than what I did, according to everybody in the universe who tells me the way that I'm supposed to look. But to me, I'm much more confident because of the things that I'm able to do with my body. And also you said mentors and the people around me in the community has been incredible factor. And at every gym I've been at 4 gyms now, 2 in Bloomington, 1 at home in Chicago, and then 1 up in Broad Ripple. And every community is so different. And that's, I think, the best part about CrossFit, or one of the best parts about it, is that you never find the same 2 people in the gym. And the dynamic is so different everywhere. My gym at home was kind of an older crowd. It was in the suburbs where I grew up. So lots of parents, which is incredible into itself, because you think CrossFit, you think youth, like you think 20 somethings who are lifting like incredible amounts of weight. And that's 1% of the CrossFit population. And the rest are parents who are working out so that they can run around with their kids and, you know, who are trying to cram in that 5:30 a.m. workout so that they can get to work on time. And then in Bloomington, I worked out with high schoolers all the way up to like retirees. And one of our women who worked out at the gym down in Bloomington was like a silver medalist in the world in her weight class for weightlifting, and she's like 65 plus. So she's retired. She worked on the newspaper down there for years and years, retired, and then her daughter opened the gym that I worked at, and then like she started weightlifting and now is over 65 and is like a world medalist in weightlifting. So you see people like that and you're like, well, shit, like this is the coolest place to be ever. Like, there's so many different people. I get to have an impact as a coach on all those different people. And they're all having an impact on me at the same time. So just the whole the community feeling is the biggest piece for me. And I'm obviously, I could talk to a wall. So having that social aspect is huge and being able to make those connections. And so now moving up to Indy, like coming from Bloomington, I was like brand new to the city. I knew one person, really, maybe 2 people when I moved up here. And I knew before I even like signed an apartment, I knew what gym I was coming to, because that was like the most important piece for me to get my life kind of on the right track, was to stabilize that community, because I knew that was like where my sanity was going to come from.
That's so funny that you say that, because I think we've given that piece of advice for when you're moving and finding like a community. Like, I always joked, it doesn't matter where I move, I can know no one because I'll find friends at the gym.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I mean, finding friends post college is so hard. So if you can rely on anything, whatever you're into, if whatever hobby you have, hopefully it's a social hobby or it has a social element to it. Because, yeah, if you work out, it's so much easier to make friends than if you're just going to work and back and not interacting with as many people.
I want to go back to you talking about beauty and strength. First of all, I love that quote or mantra, whatever you want to call it. Was there kind of a certain workout or a certain conversation that you had at the gym that kind of was that epiphany for you? Or was it just kind of the consistency of putting yourself in that environment?
Yeah, I don't think there was a specific conversation, but it was definitely the gradual over time being consistent. I started CrossFit my sophomore year of undergrad, and I got my tattoo after my first year of grad school. So that was just over 3 years of doing CrossFit. And I also had told myself, like, okay, once you're fully out of the house and your parents aren't paying your bills, then you can get a tattoo. So I did it during grad school. But I had started writing a blog just like about CrossFit and my experience with it, and had, I think, probably through writing that and then reading things online and kind of the movement towards strong is the new skinny, which I hate and is another topic that I could talk about for an hour. But having the media having a new outlook and a new perspective on what body image is and what women should look like, that all kind of influenced that decision to get the tattoo and also kind of make that my mantra. And like even on all my Instagrams, it's like that's a hashtag I have on every Instagram. And it's, yeah, it's really shaped me. And yeah.
So Katie and I totally understand that dynamic of being in a sorority house and just hearing what girls are saying about themselves, maybe what they're saying about you. So what piece of advice would you give Maggie right before you got into CrossFit, when you're in the house but you really haven't like found exercise in that way yet? Like what piece of advice would you give her on body image?
What would I tell her? I would tell her, I want to be like, you're doing just fine. Like there's no need to feel that way. And yeah, like it's normal, A. B, like you don't have any pressing health concerns. You're not overweight. You try to make healthy choices when you eat. Like you know what you're supposed to do and you're doing it. So why, you don't need to be so hard on yourself. And knowing now, 5 years later, what I know, like I wish I could give all that information to past life Maggie.
That makes me think about that quote that you see on like Instagram that says it's okay to love yourself and still want to change. Because yeah, I mean, it makes me think of pregnancy because everything makes me think of pregnancy right now. But like it makes yes, I'm still pregnant. But it makes me think of just like someone maybe going through a change, whether they want to lose weight or maybe they're struggling with their body image for whatever reason, and it's like, hey, it's okay to want to make changes, but still tell yourself, hey, maybe I'm not doing what I think is my best, but I am doing my best. And that's okay. And I'm moving forward and that's good.
I want to talk about that quote for a minute, though, because I think it's kind of like walking a thin line, because I think of it from, of course, from like a health and fitness and weight perspective, like someone who's had like disordered eating or an obsession with fitness. Like looking back, I didn't know it at the time, but I think like in high school and even in college, I think I had like an unhealthy addiction to exercise, right? Like to the point where you start to pass up on social plans or, well, I'm not doing like anything until I get my workout in, and kind of battling that of like, well, I need to go to the gym every single day to be my best, but walking that borderline of, is it healthy? Do you really need to? Kind of that mentality.
I completely agree. There's absolutely a fine line. And I mean, that's the like thought process that has to go behind reading something on social media, right? You can't take everything at face value. Be not only a critical consumer of it, but also like internalize and think, okay, like how does this apply to me in that way? But a lot of people haven't gone through the self-exploration to be able to articulate that. Like the fact that you can say that wouldn't be healthy for me 3 years ago because of the state that I was in, and now you can say that and you realize it and recognize it and you know what the right way would be. Like so many people just haven't been able to do that because they haven't been, I think, like in a healthy mental place to be able to do that, because that's really scary to like go back and look, and then also to like evaluate yourself as you are at this very moment and like how that stuff can apply to you.
So I want to go back to college, because I think a lot of people can relate to this, especially being in a sorority and just in college in general, kind of how fitness is. Like that seems like there's very, you've got your people who are super into fitness and then the people who just don't exercise at all, and then there's the people who are constantly, oh, I need to work out, right? Work out for 2 days and on and off the bandwagon, right? So did you ever receive any criticism once you got into CrossFit? Like I know me personally, it was kind of a lot of, you're so healthy. Why do you, and we've talked about this on previous episodes, of almost like health shaming a little bit, but how did that happen? And if so, did it play a role again into that body image from a different perspective?
Yes. A lot. Of course it happened. That's an awesome question. Yes. One of my like first memories of it was sophomore year. We had a date party at the end of the year, and it was called Senior Sponto. So Senior Spontaneous, and our senior pledge class would tell everybody the date, but they wouldn't tell us what we had to dress up as. It was like a costume party. And so like a couple days before, they would tell all the pledge classes like a theme that they would have to dress up as. And then they would call out certain people. Maybe this is my junior year. Regardless, one sophomore or junior year, they would call out, quote unquote, certain people and their dates to dress up as something specific, like based on their personality or whatever, because they knew that they would be okay with being funny. So whatever year this was, I think it was my junior year, I got called out to be a bodybuilder. And I was like, oh, okay, this is what it is. The year before, I had been called out to be a mime because I was so loud and would talk to anybody and whatever. And so the bodybuilder one, I was like, oh, I understand. So I actually had my boyfriend at the time go as a bodybuilder, and I dressed up as a bottle of protein. So I like made myself a shirt and wore like a tin plate on my head as the cap and whatever. So, and we had fun with it, and I, you know, whatever. But that was like one of probably the most visible kind of health shaming things. And yeah, it was funny. Like, it's funny, but you also know the thought process behind that was like, oh, she works out all the time, she does CrossFit, like she should go as a bodybuilder.
Like, it's funny, but I don't know how I feel about it, right? Kind of like, I'm gonna laugh at this, but I'm also kind of like, I need to think about this and or not think about it.
It's also kind of like separating you from the group. You know, like that's how I felt with in college. People would always ask me like to make them salads. You want me to make you a salad? I mean, it's like it's not that hard. It didn't feel that negative, but it did like separate you from everyone else because it was like, oh, will you make me a salad? Because we all eat this way and you eat that way or whatever. So hopefully you're at that point, you're a little older and you can handle kind of more of that type of criticism. But still, it's like, you know what's up.
Even in grad school, I went through a graduate program that I'm not currently working in, and I was kind of figuring out all the way through grad school that, like, oh, I think health and fitness is probably what I want to do. Oh, crap, this is not what my grad program is. Oh, crap. So I worked.
Same.
Yeah. Like, that could be a whole other episode, yeah. And I'll come back for that because we could talk for forever about that. Yeah. But I worked part-time for my grad program, and I also coached CrossFit at my CrossFit gym down there and spent all my basically spare time with my gym friends and working out there and coaching. And though nobody like verbalized that to me, it was very like, why aren't you doing things in the program? Like, why aren't you spending your spare time like helping students? Because I was, my program was higher education and student affairs, so like working with college students and X, Y, and Z, like, why are you doing that instead of this and all that? And I even, like, tried to focus all my projects around fitness and college students and women. And so, like, clearly I was not in the program like the other people were. But even in grad school, and even when I started my first job out of grad school, like, it was a lot of women who were still dealing with a lot of body image issues that I'd kind of worked through in college, and they're all out of college for many, many years, you know, mid-20s, late-20s, and, oh, I have to work out today. Like, oh, I want to start eating healthy. It was like every week was a different binge. Every week was a different diet. Every week was a new, like, okay, we're starting BBG today. And, like, yes, I'm so all about that if you are all about that. But you're not, so don't isolate me for that, for going to the gym on my work, on my lunch break, while you guys go out to eat. No, you don't get to shame me for doing something that you may probably wish you were also doing. So it's been a struggle, but I have to remember and try and empathize that people just haven't gone through the process that I've gone through, and they haven't like done the self-exploration that I have to like understand. So a lot of it has to do with empathy, that you can just like let it go and like understand that like I've been there, I get it, and that's probably why you feel that way.
Whenever I'm kind of encountering that type of criticism that's not really meant to be criticism, but it ends up being, is that most people are really just wrapped up in what's going on in their own head. And so they're just talking. about what they're saying things to you that they're just projecting. And so, you know, it's like whenever you walk in a room and you're so concerned about what people think about you, every single person is thinking that exact same thing. So basically that's a long way of saying, like, can we really take anything personally? Because usually it's not. So moving on, we all go through a process of just getting to know ourselves better. And so you've gone through a process of getting to know yourself better and also just developing a better body image. So what struggles do you have now that you're still kind of working towards or you're still working on?
Great question. I mean, I definitely still struggle with everything. It probably will never end. It will just evolve, right? So for me, a lot of it has to do with being in the gym now. Like, people walk around with their shirts off all the time, like sports bras, and that's me 80% of the time. And then some days I'm like, I feel fat and gross and I'm not gonna take off my shirt. But then I'm like, do I really? Like, you're probably just fine if you take off your shirt. Like, you're not even gonna think about it when that happens. Wearing spandex shorts to the gym. Some days I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to rock my booty today. And then other days I'm like, no, my legs. Like, did I shave? Like, nobody gives a crap, right? So going through those, and I mean, that's like, it's silly, right? Like, if you think about it in comparison to probably what I was going through, deciding to wear a sports bra versus a tank top and like shorts versus pants is like so, but people would kill for those problems, right? Mm-hmm. And then not being in a gym setting. So when you like live and breathe the gym like I do, I work there, I work out there, my friends are there. Everyone looks pretty much not the same, but everyone understands what like a muscular frame looks like, right? Then you take yourself out of that setting and you go to a wedding or you go to dinner or something where you're not in gym clothes, which is like a rarity for me. And sometimes I actually enjoy not wearing gym clothes now that I'm always in them. I recently went to a wedding and was wearing like a tank top dress that was form fitting. And I felt great, but I was like, crap, are people going to be looking at my muscles? Like, are people going to be looking at my biceps and thinking like, what does that girl do? And I want to be like, hell yeah, CrossFit. Like, I'm strong. Look at me in this tank top dress. Like, look at my arms. But I'm also like, oh, don't look at my arms, right? So when you take yourself out of that world, comfort zone, exactly, it becomes like a whole new set of challenges. But I feel like I've gotten to a point where I can process it in a way that's like healthy and I can almost talk myself out of it like I'm doing right now. Like, it's okay, right? Because you know that you're just in a different setting and people aren't used to seeing that, and that's okay.
I totally relate to that. I find myself still getting stuck in that weight loss mindset, or I need to be a lower body fat percentage. And that's part of the reason why I joined CrossFit, because of what I've heard about the mentality and focusing more on the pounds you lift, not the pounds you weigh. And so for me, it's because society, like you said, is saying, well, you need to be thinner. The focus should be weight loss. And I mean, we even promote some of that stuff because they're, to an extent, right? Weight loss is associated with decreased health risks, depending where you're at. But that's another, like we said, another podcast. So for me, I almost have to constantly remind myself, pick another goal, focus on something else, because you're never going to get rid of that. Or it's hard to get rid of that. Stop focusing on the numbers, because we're trainers, right? That's what you track in order to measure results. And so for me, having to focus on something else, like, right, I've got my journal now, I'm writing in my workouts and keeping track of the pounds so I can actually progress the pounds that I lift, so I can keep progress that way. But it's easier said than done, for sure.
Yeah, that's a good tip, though. Like, if you know that you are going to fixate on your weight or your body fat or whatever that number is, then focusing on something else is just going to help you to try to move past that.
And if you need to lose weight, then that's a good goal, right? So a lot of people come into the gym and they're like, my goal is to lose weight. And we're like, awesome, we'll help you do that. But the process that you're going to get to take on your way there is going to be the most impactful piece of that. That so many people who come into the gym are like, yeah, I'm losing weight, but like, I'm lifting 200 pounds off the ground. Like, that's so much cooler, right? Your health is getting better as you can lift more weight as your weight goes down, but it doesn't become the end goal anymore.
All right, so to jump back to you talking about grad school and how you were pursuing this grad degree, and you kind of knew during that it probably wasn't going to be your long-term career. Did you go through a process of telling yourself, you can tell this is obviously what happened with me. did you go through a process of giving yourself permission to go into fitness full time? Was there something that was holding you back? Like it wasn't fancy enough or something like that?
Girl, I'm going to cry.
Yes. yes. So all through grad school, like pretty much knew that it was not the path for me. And I had this great like assistantship, and I worked in the career center on campus. So like I got to help students pick their majors, write resumes, go through job interviews, like find a job. Yes. So ironic. And like along the way, I'm like, great. Like super. I can career develop myself out of career development, like because this is not probably what I want to do with my life. So yes, I graduated and took a job with a company up in Indy. So I moved to Indianapolis for a boy, and I took a job with a company up in Indy as like a corporate recruiter, so hiring people for the company. Mm-hmm. And I accepted it, and the day I went in for the interview, I knew I would hate it. I accepted the job because it was in the right spot. It paid me. I thought I could like wait it out, deal with it, and maybe it would get better. And I left. I started at the end of May, and I left in January because I like couldn't do it anymore. And my boss knew I couldn't do it anymore. And she like, I have nothing bad to say about her. Like she and I were very open the whole time. And like she knew that fitness was my passion. Like she even told me when I left, like, I hope you can figure out a way to like make that your life. And then I was unemployed for like 4 or 5 months and living alone, had a cat. Crazy cat lady. My boyfriend at the time like lived on the other side of the city. So like I saw him sometimes, but not often. And I spent so much time at the gym and was like, this is where I need to be. Like, this is my happy. It's not just a hobby. Like, it was my favorite job I've ever had when I was down in Bloomington. There was never a day that it felt like work. I didn't think that existed. What? Like, people like going to work? What? So I was so dead set on figuring out a way to do it. But I wasn't verbalizing it to anybody. My relationship at the time, he was not supportive of that. And it was like heartbreaking to have somebody that you love tell you that like that's a dumb dream, basically. Like, don't do that now. Do that when you're 35. Do that when you're X, Y, and Z. Do that whatever. Like, no, I want to do it now. But he was telling me no. And so I was pursuing other jobs that aligned with my degree. He's like, you have a master's degree, why aren't you using it, blah blah blah. So I was pursuing other job opportunities and like had a full-time job offer from a school, and like when I went in for the interview, I knew I wouldn't take the job if they offered it to me. And I went into the interview because like he was telling me that this is what I was supposed to do, and my brain was like, stop thinking about fitness, like try and make this work. And when I got the call for the job offer, when the woman offered it to me, hung up the phone, immediately started crying. Like, not, you got a job offer, that's amazing, congratulations, like, you should be so proud of yourself. It was, holy crap, what am I going to tell him when I have to tell him that I'm not accepting this full-time job offer? Had a full-blown panic attack at the gym. Like, I was at the gym. Irony, talk about irony. I'm at the gym when I get this phone call. Full-blown panic attack at the gym. Go home and, like, have to have a conversation about how I'm not going to accept this job. Long story longer, we broke up in July. And before that, in May, I had sat down with Jeff, our owner, and had done like an informational interview with him, because I was like, if I'm actually going to do this, all this was like behind my boyfriend's back. Like I was sneaking, like I felt like I was sneaking around, right? Yeah. Which, looking back on it now, I'm like, you're so dumb that you did that. Like, you're not dumb, but like, you're dumb that you snuck around behind his back. Like, clearly this was not healthy. So I did an informational interview with Jeff because he started the gym when he was in college and like has obviously grown it to this like massive success. And at the end of it, I was like, listen, if you ever need some coaching help, like I have my L1, I would love to help you. Part-time, doesn't matter. I'm there. Boom. 2 weeks later, I was coaching part-time for them because I had already made it very clear that I was passionate and interested in it. I literally threw myself at Jeff and I was like, give me a job, right? Yeah. I had been a staple of that community for a year. Like people respected me. They liked me, right? And I was like, this is my chance to do it. Like I can learn from the best. He's grown this company. I love everybody here. This is where my heart pulls me every single day. So why am I not trying to make this work? So 2 weeks later, I had a part-time job. And then literally the day after, talk about irony, the day after I broke up with my boyfriend, I went like 30 hours a week at the gym. So the month before, my boyfriend at the time was like, work less at the gym so we can spend more time together. So I did. And then the day after we broke up, Jeff was like, I'd like to give you 30 hours a week instead of 15. And I'm like, is this real life? If this isn't fateful, I don't know what is. And then my life just, the minute I aligned what I was supposed to do, the minute I said yes to myself, like talk about selfishness, like being selfish, the minute I was like, yes, you are allowed to be selfish and do what you want to do. And yeah, you could fail big time, but like do it because when else are you going to be able to do it? The minute I did that, everything else like fell into place and it's been amazing.
That is insane. And that makes me so happy to hear that because we always talk about like you need to just sometimes you have to say screw it and take a chance, even though you have nothing lined up, you have no cards into place. I think Lauren and I have tried to talk each other out of jobs like all the time. We're constantly just saying, nope, go for it, even though all these other people around us are saying, that's not the smartest decision. Yeah. You know, that's not the most responsible or smart decision, but look what can happen. That's freaking awesome.
Yeah. And I almost think for some of us, you have to get yourself into a point of failure. Like you were saying you were unemployed. Like you almost have to like force yourself into this point, low point, to then say, I have nothing to lose. So now I can actually do what I want to do and tell myself, well, I don't have anything to lose. And it's funny though, because it's like, that's when you take a chance on yourself, but that's when you have the most success. Cause like you said, you're then following your heart and in alignment with what you're good at and all of those things.
Right. And I was so lucky. Like, I would never go hungry. I would never not be able to pay my rent. Like, my parents, how blessed I am that they, like, have been 100% supportive of this. And I slept on couches from the time I broke up with my boyfriend until the time I found my house. I had a support system around me that enabled me to do that. And a lot of people don't. So, like, taking that kind of a risk is a lot scarier for a lot of other people than it was for me. But you're right. Like, I literally, for days, was like, is this bottom? Have I hit rock bottom? Like, please, this is bottom. And then all of a sudden it went up. So you're absolutely right. Like sometimes you just have to like get to that point where you have no other place to go but up. Like you have to take that opportunity.
I think too, it's about putting, I'm all about like putting your energy out there and what you focus on becomes a reality. And like you just kept focusing on fitness, like fortunately, but unfortunately for you, you couldn't help it. Like that was just at the forefront. And I think you just put the energy out there that that comes to fruition.
Isn't it funny, though, like with being in your 20s and trying to figure out what the heck you're trying to do with yourself, that more people don't feel like it's okay to be unemployed for a couple months. I remember thinking being unemployed, because I was at a time, was like the worst. Like that was failure because you had made it through college, you had a degree, you were probably paying student loans too. And, you know, being unemployed and not having a job was like the ultimate failure, when it's like at the same time, you're 23, 24, 28, whatever. You're just trying to figure it out. Like we should all cut each other a break.
Yes. And I was reading a book at the time, a Brené Brown book that talked about shame, and being unemployed was one of the most like shameful experiences that I've ever had. But I was so lucky to have that support system around me. And even my mom was like, I was in grad school, right? So I went through 6 years of college in like this sanctuary little town, Bloomington, like where nothing bad ever happens. And then you graduate and you leave that student lifestyle, which is a crazy transition that nobody talks about. Nobody talks about that, and they should. And then you quit a job. And my mom was like, my first year out of college, like, I had no idea what I was doing. Like, I kind of figured out the world. And, like, I didn't travel Europe, but, like, I tried to figure myself out. I'm like, I sure as hell wasn't going to go travel Europe because I didn't have money to do that. But, like, being unemployed for 4 months was my trip to Europe, like, trying to figure out who I am. And I'm still going through that. But, yes.
All right. So, with all of that, there is so much beauty and strength. But what beauty have you had to find in those weak moments, in those lows, where, you know, there's so much, like, you know, you talked about shame. There's so, it's so easy to be hard on yourself. So what beauty have you found in those hard times?
I think it's really hard to find it at the moment. Looking back on it, I'm so proud of myself for the way that I was able to come out of it and the things that I was able to learn from it. Specifically that experience, right? Like being unemployed and getting out of a bad relationship and all of those things that everyone is going to go through. And in the moment, you're like, this is ugly and gross. And then you look back on it and you've grown so much and everything is a lesson, right? So looking back on that, like there's so much beauty in the strength that you develop over those weak moments. And then like to be nerdy and relate it to the gym, again, like looking back on how far you've come, there was this amazing Facebook post that somebody, Jill, who's one of our new members at the gym, put in the Facebook group today about how when she started in the Best Beginners program 3-4 months ago that she went through, how like she couldn't even do 30 double unders or 30 single jumps without like being out of breath. And then yesterday she did 200 and like she was so down on herself for being the last person to finish yesterday, but then like had to remember how far she's come and the fact that she tracked all of her food yesterday. And like it's those moments where it doesn't become about the weight loss anymore or like how shitty your day was or whatever. It becomes about like the little accomplishments that you've made when you thought that you sucked. Mm-hmm. And that's where the beauty comes from. Like the fact that you probably wouldn't have been able to realize that 4 months ago, right? And now you can. Like that's, that transformation can start so early and it keeps going. It's so cool.
So you said that, you know, it's obviously hard to find beauty when you're in those low moments. And I think that's totally okay. You know, there's some people that I think almost force optimism. Mm-hmm. And if they're an optimistic type of person, they like, they're always just like, trying so hard to find the positivity. And I think there are moments in time where you have to lean on others and you have to just like, just accept like I'm going through something and wait it out and try to move forward. But I really feel so strongly about you don't have to find the positive in every single moment, every single day. I just don't think that's realistic. And it's okay to realize like, this is a hard time. And I'm getting through it.
Yeah. Just looking back and being like, that was shitty. It really sucked. But probably one of the best things that I think it sounds like one of the best things that probably ever happened to you was the awful relationship and being unemployed. Because if it weren't for that, you wouldn't have found where you are today, like you said, which is huge.
So I have this beauty and strength tattoo. And there was a woman, Tammany, at the gym. Who I now know, but at the time I had no idea who she was when I like first joined the gym. And in our like BRFC Bad Girls group, she posted a picture of my Instagram that I had posted when I very first got my tattoo and was like, I'm pretty sure I've seen this tattoo around the gym. Like I was looking at CrossFit tattoos and this came up and apparently my Instagram picture had been like whatever screenshotted and like put on a BuzzFeed article about CrossFit tattoos or like fitness tattoos. So like of all the people, so she at the gym like found my picture online. So that was my funny. I was like, oh my God, this woman doesn't even like really know who I am, but like that's my tattoo. So yeah.
That's like a small level of like CrossFit famous. Yes, you're like, oh wait, I was in a BuzzFeed article? Okay. All right. I'm moving up. Goals. BuzzFeed goals. All right, well, I have absolutely loved the chat, and I'm so glad that we get to have you on. We have like 45 follow-up episodes that we can do, so that's always great.
I'll come back anytime.
All right, Maggie, so if people want to read your blog, follow you, see what your tattoo actually looks like in real life or on social media, where can they find you?
Great question. You can find me on Instagram at MaggieMetCrossFit, and you can also find my blog, Girl Meets CrossFit, at WordPress.com, and you can see how cool my tattoo looks and learn a little bit more about me.
Awesome. Well, that is it for this episode. Send us your questions on Instagram at FitFriendsHappyHour or send us an email, FitFriendsHappyHour@gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we will talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.